Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. All right, we are back. It's 13 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our phone number is 888-822-8255. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. No dashes or dots in the middle, just put the words all together, and you're there. That's where you can go to find out about a little bit more about me and my show. Our show, I should say, and all of our guests, especially the Brain Trust members, one of which is our special guest this hour, and that is Doug Stives, resident CPA of our show, member of the Brain Trust, and a partner and the manager, of the tax department at Kirchen & Company, the largest CPA firm in central New Jersey, out of beautiful downtown Red Bank, New Jersey. Doug, welcome back.
Good to be with you, Jim.
It's good to be with you, and I know how hectic things are getting, and they're not going to get any better for another couple of months. But I just want to thank you for taking some time to be with me and my audience today.
Hey, anything to avoid working at this time of year.
I appreciate that. Folks, if you've got any questions about any tax questions, a question about especially with your business, now Doug will answer. We'll take any calls that you want to make. But especially if you've got something about your business, a question, and there are no dumb questions. Remember what you learned in kindergarten. There are no dumb questions except the one that doesn't get asked. 888-822-8255. Go ahead, Doug.
Jim, you're forgetting I'm from New Jersey. I'm supposed to be rude, so anybody calls with a dumb question, we'll yell at them.
You know, that's what I like about you, Doug. I know you're from New Jersey, but you're not the least bit rude, and so I appreciate that about you.
Well, I can swing around if you want.
You know, I believe that, too. What you got on your mind today? What's going on that's new and exciting in the world of the tax business?
Oh boy, is that an oxymoron? I think the good news is that the 97 Tax Act, and again some changes that came along in 1998 out of Congress, reduced people's taxes. It in no way simplified the tax situation, which a lot of people are crying out for. But I say the good news again is there's some credits, there's some deductions we haven't had before. And the ones that I'm getting the most number of questions on, Jim, are this new child credit, which gives a vast majority of taxpayers out there a $400 credit. That means you get $400 in less tax. It's not a deduction. It's
right.
A credit.
It comes right off the bottom line.
Well, if you have a refund, it would increase your refund by $400 for every dependent child that you have in your household who is not 17 years old as of December 31st, 1998.
Where was that credit when I had children?
Well, to tell you the irony of my situation is my youngest daughter turned 17 last year. So I keep saying that's why they decided to cut it off at 17.
Exactly. They said Jim and Doug are out of the picture there, so let's do it.
Right. Check Doug's kids' ages, and
that's right.
When we'll bring down the boom. And you know, think of these educational credits. Some people are saying, well, they're a drop in the bucket, but if you have a kid, and I'll go through the regulations in a few minutes with you, but in many cases, you have a child in college, you can get up to a $1,500 credit. Again, they're just handing you back $1,500.
Again, right after my child is out of college.
Right. Mm-hmm. If you're spending $30,000 for tuition, hey, it's not much help, but it's better than it was a year ago when there was nothing.
Right, right.
The thing I've got to stop right now, though, and point out that for high-income individuals, and some people don't think that they're so high when they find out they're phased out of these credits, the credits do phase out when you hit certain income levels that we can talk about.
Okay. All right. What's next?
Other things that are out there, again, in the education area. Remember that our friend Bill Clinton, former friend for a lot of people, said he was the education president, and Congress has backed him up on that. I mentioned the education credits. There's also now a deduction for student loan interest. There's also something called an educational IRA for people with young children want to put money away and have it build up tax-free.
Stand by. And Chuck, I don't know if you're – are you handy, Chuck? Chuck has a question. Our producer, Chuck Gustafson, Chuck was asking me about this earlier, and I said, why don't you just ask Doug? Chuck, go ahead and ask Doug your question.
Sure. Doug, how you doing? This is Chuck.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Chuck or John? Who do we get here?
Chuck.
This is okay,
Chuck.
Sorry about that.
John's the good-looking one. This is Chuck.
Okay. No, we'll answer his question anyhow.
This is the first year, I guess, that the student loan interest has at least affected my life, and I'm used to just doing the 1040 EZ form. I don't have any assets or anything, so I'm kind of lost as to how to go about actually claiming the interest.
Okay. First of all, let's cover what it is for people that might have some interest in this thing. If you are paying a student loan, a loan that accumulated during your college years or that of one of your children, first of all, the loan has to be in the first 60 months. So if somebody graduated, you know, more than 5 years ago and they're still making payments on the loan, they don't qualify. It has to be within the first 5 years or 60 months. The limit for 1998, the limit of the deduction, is $1,000. So if you paid less than $1,000 of interest, you can deduct the whole thing. More than that, you're limited to the $1,000. That goes up each year, but for 1998, it's $1,000, Chuck. And here's, I think, the thing that you're asking for is where to deduct it. And there's a line right on the front page of the, what some people refer to as the long form, or the regular form 1040. And I stop and point out here, this doesn't cost you any money or save you any money. You know, if you compute your tax on EZ, and you do the same facts and circumstances on the 1040, the tax will come out the same, I promise. But in your case, if you can deduct the student loan interest, you have to do the full 1040 form. You will find that, of course, it will reduce your tax. The only bad news I have is if you're single and your income is over $40,000, you start to phase out or lose the benefit of the interest deduction. On a married filing joint return, you start to phase out the student loan deduction, student interest deduction on $60,000 of income.
Right. Well, being in radio, I don't have to worry about such large dollar amounts.
Jim said he could arrange it to keep you qualified for the deduction, Chuck.
Well, he tells me he doesn't make over 40 even, and I know no one will marry him, so I know he fits into that other category.
Well, just a further comment on that is where we're using it in a lot of cases is, you know, parents' income is substantially over the $60,000 for a joint. Well, what we do is have the recent graduate from college go down to the bank or wherever you borrowed the money from the school or the loan company and have the child sign on the note, then the child can take the deduction.
Does that help, Chuck?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
All right, good. Good deal. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. It's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is Doug Stives, the resident CPA of the Small Business Advocate Show. We'll be right back. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Stay with us. All right, we're back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate. I wanted to remind you about some of the folks who are coming up the rest of the week. Joan Pride is going to be with us to talk to us about the most recent Kiplinger letter. That's coming up this week. Also, Floyd Hurt, our good buddy, Mr. Creativity, I call him. He's going to be back with us later in the week to talk about how to be creative and a lot of other good things like that. He's always a bundle of energy and a lot of fun. Also, I'm trying to get David Losky, our Reuters correspondent, who's following. He's actually attending and sitting in on reporting on the USV Microsoft case. Microsoft has had some rather bad turns of events in the last week or two. David hasn't been with us in about a month, and I'm going to get him to come back, try to get him to come back on Friday and give us an update on that. Especially this week, there have been some interesting things there. And so that's all coming up for you this week. And a lot of other stuff that I'll tell you about later that's coming up next week. Right now, let's get back to our discussion with Doug Stives, our good buddy. Doug Stives, who's our resident CPA. Our phone number, folks, if you'd like to call and ask me or Doug a question, about, especially Doug, about your tax, any tax issues that you might have, or any accounting issues. He's the expert on that too. 888-822-8255. And Doug, you were telling us some things a minute ago in the last break, and I interrupted you so we could let Chuck ask his question. Go ahead.
I've enjoyed listening to you for the last 30 seconds talking about all these exciting people that are coming on the next week, and now it's back to the real excitement, a CPA from New Jersey talking about taxes. Boy.
Now it's back to Doug.
Yeah, your advertisers are going to be sore with you. We were going through some changes that I think will surprise some people, and I hope pleasantly surprise them when they do their 1998 returns. And just to remind everyone, when we say this year, we're really thinking 1998, because that's the year that we're doing tax returns for right now, supposedly.
Right.
And say, I started out the hour by saying that virtually all the changes that affect your 1998 return are only going to save you taxes. Yes, some people make too much money to qualify for some of these new changes, but as we were just talking about with Chuck, is if you paid student loan interest last year, or if you've been paying it for a number of years, you never had a deduction available to you until 1998. So that's, to me, that's a good sign. I'd like to talk about the one credit, though, Jim, that is going to affect the majority of people out there, and that is called the child credit.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned it a little while ago that the child has to be under age 17, but let's explain how it works. If your adjusted gross income on a single return is under $75,000, or on a married filing joint return, if your adjusted gross income is under $110,000, and clearly that sweeps up majority of the people in the country.
Now, adjusted gross is after the, after certain deductions.
Well, it's, you know, if you can visualize the 1040 form, it's the last line on the front page. It's, you know, your salaries, your investment income, profit from your business if you have, if you're self-employed, capital gains, just about everything that's on the inside, and then after any deductions for retirement plans such as KIOs, IRAs, or things like that. That mm-hmm. That's your adjusted gross income before your...
Before itemized.
Before your itemized deductions,
right,
exactly.
Okay. Go ahead.
Bottom of page one is what we say.
So,
and again, if you're single and that number is under 75,000, married filing joint under 110, you just automatically are going to get a $400 child credit for every dependent child that's under age 17 at the end of 1998.
That's 17 or under 17?
Under 17. If the child turns 17 in December of 1998, you're dead.
I got you.
So you look at the child's age at December 31st, 98. If the child is still 16, even mm-hmm. if they've turned 17 since then, you know, this year, then they're okay.
Okay.
If the child is was 17, say at December 31st, you're out of the block on that one.
Right, and that is a credit. It's not a deduction.
That's right. And just parenthetically, that credit is going to increase for 1999 to $500 per child.
Where's it going after that?
Well, that's it. It's going to go to five and stay there until Congress changes it again.
Okay.
But I had someone on yesterday that said they had four children, and they said, "You mean I'm going to get $1,600 in less tax? You know, increase my refund or reduce my balance due?" And I said, "Absolutely."
Yeah.
The surprising part to people doing their own taxes, there is no form for this. There's just a little worksheet in the instructions. And then if you're doing the long form, you get around to page two, and there's just a section there called credits, and you throw in the number. You know, you don't have to attach another form or do any intricate computation. It's just 400 times the number of kids.
How about that?
If your income is over that 75,000 or 110, the deduction starts to phase out, and then you will need to do the little worksheet instructions and see how much of it you might retain.
If you're in very low income and you haven't paid in $1,600 in taxes.
Yep.
Do you get the $1,600 credit?
You would get the amount of your tax, but no more than that.
No more than that. I see. Okay, I want to make sure I knew that. All right, folks, let's take a break. It's 29 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. 888-822-8255. That's our phone number. Stay with us. I'll be right back with our good friend Doug Stiles. All right, welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we have as our special guest today, this hour, our very good friend, Doug Stiles, the resident CPA of the Small Business Advocate Show, a member of our Brain Trust, and a partner and the manager of the tax department at Kirchen & Company, the largest CPA firm in central New Jersey out of Red Bank, New Jersey. And he's here. He is the expert, folks, to talk to you if you would like to call to ask questions about your tax return, your personal or your corporate tax return, any little wrinkle that you might have, any question or concern that you might have. And all you have to do is dial this number, 888-822-8255. And if you don't have a dialer and you have a keypad like most of us do, I keep saying dial this number, press these numbers into your keypad on your telephone, 888-822-8255. Doug, why do we still say dial the number?
Oh, I don't know.
It just happens.
What, you mean you have push buttons on your phone?
Insidious. Doug, where are we going from here? You got
I still have to pick up the phone and wait for the operator to answer.
Operator, would you give me Evergreen 3?
There are people out there that don't know what we're talking about.
I still remember it. I'll tell you that.
I do, too.
I remember having no dialer. That's exactly right.
The operator used to say, number, please. Remember that?
Absolutely. I mean, remember when the first thing wasn't a number. You said a name like Evergreen or Plantation or whatever it might be. You know?
That's right. The local exchange where I live was Shadyside.
Shadyside?
Shadyside 7. Stop that. And we took it seriously. You know what I love with some of my older clients is, though, like, go down to Florida, and they'll call me up, and they think, well, I'm calling long distance. I have to shout.
Yeah. They really do, don't they?
Yep. Doug, I'm down here in Sarasota. See, I can hear you just fine.
That's funny.
And they talk fast because they're still thinking it costs $4 a minute.
Oh, I know it, yeah. Yeah, they can't get that out of their mind, can they?
Well, I keep reminding them if they're talking to me, it's deductible, so that's the
right
way about it.
Yeah, but I think they're more worried about your bill, Doug. I think that's the problem.
I hope they're worried about it. Jim, we were talking about credits, and just to wrap up that real quickly, I want to make people aware, particularly if somebody who's just started a business in 1998 and their income was low, or they've gone through a difficult time, or you know, they're just, say, struggling with a new business, and they didn't have a whole lot of income, they should be aware that there's a little help out there from the government in the form of something called the Earned Income Credit. If you are working or have your own business and have earned income, and you are supporting at least one dependent child, your income has to be, in round numbers, below $30,000. It's kind of hard to explain in a short minute here, but if you fall into some of these situations, you might want to consider trying to compute the earned income credit. And I say trying because the computation is absolutely horrendous. You may need help with that. If you don't want to pay for help, what you do is just take a Schedule EIC, EIC as an earned income credit, write your name and Social Security number on the top of it, send it in with your tax return, and believe it or not, the IRS will compute the credit for you.
I'll be darned.
And you asked me right before we went on break if the child credit is refundable. In other words, if you have no income tax whatsoever, will you get the child credit? The answer is no, but you would in that situation, Jim, get the earned income credit. That is what's known as a refundable credit. It'll wipe out your tax, then the credit will come back to you. And then just to go beyond, is there's something new in 98 called the supplemental child credit. If you qualify for the child credit and it doesn't save you any money, you might get the supplemental credit. And what that does is it refunds the employee share of their Social Security tax.
Wow.
Now, that's all I'm going to say. It's horrendously complicated, but some people are probably clicking on saying, hey, this sounds like something that might save me some money.
Well, just write that down, folks, and take it to your tax preparer or whatever, and just make sure that you know about it. That's the whole point of Doug being here, is to let you know that these things exist so that you can take advantage of them if you need to. And you know, there are people out there who are saying, why would small business owners want to know about that? You know, don't they make a lot of money? Well, the truth is a lot of them don't. A lot of us don't. And especially if there are home-based business folks out there, Doug, who are, the maybe a single parent, who's trying to raise her children and operate her business from her home, and she's got a little bit of business going on, but she's still not making a lot of money, just kind of barely holding things together. She is a small business owner and one of my heroes, but she still qualifies for some of these credits. And I really appreciate you sharing this information with us, Doug.
Well, what we also run into, Jim, too, is we'll have someone that's, I hate to bring it up again, but your age or my age, working for a big corporation, and gets downsized out or just decides to quit, and they go start their own little consulting business, the first year or two, they typically don't make anything.
They may have assets, but they may not have any income.
Right.
Yeah.
Some of these credits may help some of those people, too.
Yeah, I agree with you. Well said. Good point. All right, what's next?
Okay. Talking about, I just mentioned in my last paragraph that the IRS will actually do the EIC computation for you. Mm-hmm. Now, let me dispel this, though, is you can't go to an IRS office and expect to sit down with an agent and fill out the schedule. They're not allowed to do that anymore.
Uh-huh.
But you send the return in and say they will come back and compute your credit for you and give you a notice and show you what they did. If you don't think they did it right, well, then you need to get some professional help. But I use that to point out, and a lot of people are going to smirk when I say this, that the IRS has really, really spent a lot of time and resources in the last year to become the newer and friendlier IRS.
How are they doing?
Well, I think they're doing real well, and some of my contemporaries really get upset when I say that. But I'll give you a couple of examples. I have an IRS audit going on. I always have a couple, but I have two going on right now. And with one particular office here, they used to be nasty, and this time they're being real nice to me.
Good. I want to hear the rest of that because I did want to ask you about that. And also, I want to talk about how to correspond with the IRS. And also, folks, we're going to talk a little bit more about e-filing. And sometime during the hour, I want to talk about alternative minimum tax. We'll try to get all that in during this hour. 888-822-8255. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. It's 39 after. Our special guest is Doug Stiles. Stay with us. We are back. It's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest is Doug Stiles, the resident CPA of the Small Business Advocate Brain Show and a member of our Brain Trust. And he is, his company is Kirchen & Company out of Red Bank, New Jersey. Doug, you were telling us about a couple of IRS audits that you're involved in.
Yeah, and what I was pointing out, and so it's going to shock some people, but one IRS office here in New Jersey that I won't identify, obviously, 2 or 3 years ago, I had an audit with them where, you know, I called there and had to get quite demanding to get through to a supervisor, and the guy answered the phone in a very gruff voice, says, you know, Smith. And I said, well, Mr. Smith, you know, can I get your first name? What do you need to know that for? You know, just gruff and nasty. And I called the same office last week with an agent who's been very pleasant, met with me here in my office 3 times. And, you know, she's doing a heck of a job, frankly. She's beating up my client. It's going to cost him some money. So I'm not saying they're slacking off in their diligence, but she said, well, you know, maybe my supervisor could help you with that, Doug, and why don't you give him a call? I called up there, actually got her on the phone. So let me go in and see if I can get Bob to pick up the phone. Bob now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A different guy yeah. than the gruff guy 2 or 3 years ago. Picked up the phone, he's, you know, fictitious name here, but, hi, this is Bob Smith. Is this Mr. Stives? How can I help you?
I'll be done.
And the whole conversation was like that. It wasn't a put-on.
You said you looked at your telephone to make sure you dialed the wrong number.
That's
the right.
Number.
Yeah.
And but we were talking just like you and I are talking now, Jim.
Imagine.
I told him one thing. He said, well, Doug, I don't think there's too much we can do about that, but, you know, let me think about it, and we'll get back to you. Another story, about 6 months ago, I had correspondence with the service center here up on Long Island in New York, and they had sent my client a notice, and I responded to it in writing. They came back and said they needed to discuss this case with me. Would I please call? They gave me an inside phone number, and they asked that I call between 6 p.m. and 2 a.m., the night shift, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I laughed about that. I sat here, it was about 7 o'clock, I was getting ready to go home, dialed the number, and of course got a machine, and said, you know, if there is anyone there, I'd appreciate it if you would call me back. I'm going home. Here's my home phone number. You can call me anytime up until midnight. Jim, they called me at 11 o'clock at night.
What?
Mr. Stives, this is, you know, Mrs. Jones from the service center. I got your message. You asked me to call you back, and we try to respond to all messages the same day. How
wow.
can I help you? I had to get picked up off the floor.
You're kidding.
So this, believe it or not, I know there are people out there saying, where is this guy?
Right.
It is, they are trying. Now, believe me, they still have a long, long ways to go with their computers. You know, some of the people are just not very well skilled, but they're getting it right from the commissioner in Washington, Charles Rosati, is,
mm-hmm.
hey, these are not the enemy. These are the people that pay your salary. The word they're using now is the taxpayers are our customers.
Wow.
Try that on.
What a novel idea.
Yeah, yeah.
What are they thinking?
Well, the other thing I have to put out there is if somebody is having a tough time with an agent, you know, work with them. Don't just threaten to go over their head. But after a couple of go-rounds, if you're nowhere, you've got to pick up the phone and call the office where that person is located and ask for a manager or that specific individual supervisor and tell your story. And they will listen.
Well, there are lots of stories about the absolute polar opposite of what you've been talking about, including you know, retribution and all kinds of things
yep.
that agents have taken against taxpayers and you know, you don't have to like the law, but
right.
there's no reason why we have to have an adversarial situation with the person that's administering the law.
Well, if anything, I met casually with some agents last week on another what I'd call an administrative matter. And, you know, we just kind of kicked back our feet a little bit, and we're sitting there drinking coffee, as a matter of fact, which sounds unusual, but that's what we do sometimes with these folks. And they were telling me they're scared to death because they said if a client or a customer, as they call them now, or a practitioner, somebody like me dealing with them, files a complaint, it's a big deal. They can get pulled
right?
off duty and, you know, have to hire a lawyer to defend themselves.
So there's motivation there.
Yeah, and, you know, I hope that that doesn't backlash and tie up the administrative processes of the government, but to me, it's a good sign. The
yeah.
Congress came on strong, and IRS is listening.
Absolutely. Well, and there are a lot of people who testified before Congress, and it took a lot of courage for those people, and there have been a lot of people who have been severely hurt by some things that the IRS did, and those people paid the price. A lot of those people paid the price for what you're for the examples that you're
right.
giving us right now.
Right. And I do have to, again, I hate to keep defending the government, but those stories that you saw on C-SPAN and so forth, they were, you know, 1 of 10,000.
Right.
Very rare, but that doesn't mean that it's acceptable in any shape or form.
Right. And as many employees as the IRS has, and as hard as they work, they may still have those kinds of cases.
Yeah, they do. But I think the point we want to make, Jim, is that if you're, you know, having a go-around with the IRS, Don't get intimidated. They frequently will write to you and say, you know, you have 10 days to respond, and taxpayers get intimidated and send them the money and say, we'll fight with them later. Not at all. There's almost always a phone number on those forms, and yes, you may get slapped on hold for an hour, but, you know, get your mail in front of you or get a Jim Blasingame book or something in front of you and sit back. And the other point I might make is don't ever try to call the IRS on a Monday.
Okay.
Everybody stores up stuff over the weekend. I find if I call them on a Thursday or a Friday about mid-morning, you get right through.
Right.
As we get closer to April 15th, that's tough. And they also have, like, tripled the number of hours they have their information lines open. You know, this 1-800-829-1040 number is more accessible than ever.
Good. Good information, Doug. Stand by. We've got to take a break. Folks, we're going to come right back. We're not going to get to talk about all the things that I had on my list, but we're going to get Doug back real soon. But he'll be back with us for one more segment right after these messages. It's 50 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Doug Stires is our special guest. Stay with us. All right, it's 54 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you for being with us today. I appreciate your time and your attention and your support of our show. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out. Our special guest is our very good friend, folks, Doug Stires. And the reason that you can believe me when I say that he's our friend is he is a CPA, and this is the time of the year when he is the busiest, and yet he still manages to spend some time with us to help us out, help small business owners out. And that is one of the reasons why he was invited to be a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. Only those people who demonstrate to me a sincere commitment and dedication to small business owners get to be a member of that group. And Doug, I want to thank you for your time.
Well, it's a pleasure, and I do a fair amount of public speaking, as we were just talking about during the break, and I find I learn more from those experiences and like what we're doing this morning, some of the questions and thoughts that come out, and I think I can do a better job for my clients. But that's enough rhetoric. What else do we have here?
Exactly. Today? Well, we're running out of time. We're not going to get to go into all the things that I wanted to talk about.
Oh, I can't give any secrets to these people?
That you had on your line, on your list. Say that again.
I can't give away any of my secrets.
No more secrets. I wanted to get a couple of things I want to do. Let's remind people that for their corporation return, it's got to be in by March 15th.
Well, yeah, but I can ease some of the pain there if you're not ready. And I tell you, most of the corporate returns we don't do by March 15th. We file an extension.
Yep.
You just stick in a form 7004 and basically just sign your name. In the rare event that your corporation owes income tax, that is due on March the 15th.
Right.
But if you're an S corporation, you don't pay any tax in the S corporation level. File a 7004 and worry about it after March 15th.
Exactly.
Yes, you're right. March 15th is the due date. Remind people that most states, you know, their local state also requires a filing, and if you're going to extend the federal filing, you frequently have to file a separate form with your state tax office.
Right.
Some states have a different due date, but we'll leave that up in the air. And then, of course, April 15th is not too far behind, and we'll be back again in a couple of weeks to talk to you about what to do if you do need to file for an extension of time.
Absolutely, yeah. We're going to, in fact, as Doug says, we're going to have him back in 2 weeks to talk about actually 2 weeks from the end of this week. Doug, we got a little over a minute. Let's stick a couple of things in here. Talk to us for a minute about e-filing.
Electronic filing, or as Jim calls it, e-filing, has had a lot of publicity. And the reason is because it saves the government money. They want you to e-file. But don't be misled into thinking that it'll save you dime in tax. The tax comes out the same whether you paper file with a manual return or whether you e-file. And they'll also say the government likes to do it because then they don't have to sit and key punch those numbers into the machine.
Mm-hmm.
The only real advantage, Jim, is if the IRS owes you money, if you have a refund coming back, instead of the normal, what they advertise, 4 to 6 weeks refund turnaround, if you e-file, they just about guarantee less than 2 weeks to have that refund not even sent to you, but electronically deposited into your checking account.
Hmm.
So where somebody's looking for a refund or they're desperate to get their hands around that money, e-filing might be something for them to consider, but in most cases, we just frankly ignore it in our practice.
And that's going to it's becoming more and more mandatory, isn't it?
Well, the year 2006, I think it is, like 85% of returns are going to have to be e-filed. That's a mandate from the U.S. Congress to the Internal Revenue Service.
Right. How many people are e-filing today?
I think they're up to like 15 million or something. It's a one-digit percentage at this point, Jim.
Exactly. Doug, that's the last word. Thank you very much. You did a great job today, as always. We'll see you in a little over 2 weeks.
I guess I have to go back to work now.
I'm afraid so. Have a good one. Thank you for a good job.
Thank you.
See you later. All right, folks, got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, the most important members of my show, small business owners in America, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today these 10 two-letter words. If it is to be, it is up to me. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.